Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 42, Only on God Do Thou My Soul. 42. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you are worthy of praise from every creature. We look up to you as creatures to their Creator. We acknowledge that you are the God of heaven and earth, and the vast creation far beyond what mankind has ever been able to find out. Blessed be our God forever. Lord, when men and women find their courage failing and call to you for help, you never fail them. When people bring their sin-darkened lives to you in penitence, you receive them. We ask you to be with us in our worship. This is our moment of penitence and our moment of approach to you, our God. Be with us now and help us where we need help. Lord, you have created us for your service. Our life is meant to reflect your life in this, your world. We confess our failure to represent you to the world around us, our failure to trust you completely, our concern with lesser things, and our lack of concern for the things which really matter. Forgive us, Lord, where the balance of our life has gone wrong. Help us to recognize the temptations of the way and to overcome them. Help us to be awake to the needs of others and to be ready to meet those needs. So help us day by day to become better representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 194, This is the day. 194. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 45, at verse 1. Genesis, chapter 45, at verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.'" And in the New Testament, and I've changed the New Testament reading from the one in the printed version there, and we read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, at verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, that's the wrong chapter. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 152, "Praise the Lord, His Glories Show," 152. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus then said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to be a follower of mine, He must leave self behind. He must take up his cross and come with me. I'm not clever at do-it-yourself jobs. I like to see the finished article when those joiners, plumbers, plasterers, and painters have finished a particular piece of work. But anything I would do along those lines would be very modest indeed. I am glad, all the same, to have been trained in another craft besides the ministry. When I was training to become a teacher, we learned a lot of useful things. One thing I remember was an estimate of how much the human mind retains of what it takes in. If we hear something said to us, it's likely that after a time we'll remember about 30% of what we heard. If we were to read the same material for ourselves, we might retain about half or even 60% of it. But if we were to write it down, we could retain nearly it all, 90% anyway. Some of what we teach to pupils in school, they can write down or read, but some of it is merely spoken by the teacher. So if it's important that the pupils should remember the material, it has to be spoken over and over again. In foreign language teaching, which is what I was involved in, it often means getting the pupils to repeat things many times over. This is largely the way that Jesus taught. He didn't ask people to write things down. He left nothing himself in writing, so he wasn't asking people to read his words. He did his teaching by word of mouth. So he found it useful to go over the same point again and again. So we find that in the teaching of Jesus, there are recurring themes. And this is one of those themes which we're considering today. If anyone wishes to be a follower of mine, he must leave self behind, he must take up his cross and come with me. Three things which Jesus said anyone must do who wants to be a follower of his. Three things for disciples of Jesus to do. Disciples of Jesus, people who are learning from him. Learning from him so that he can send them out to do his work in the world. Disciples of Jesus, yes. People think they can find better things to do, more exciting things to do nowadays than being disciples of Jesus. But that's only folk who don't know him. Once his first disciples began to get to know him, they were gripped. They were inwardly compelled. They knew within themselves that nothing on earth was ever going to be more interesting or exciting or worthwhile than being a disciple of this astonishing man from Nazareth. That's what his first disciples found. Generations of Christians have found it too. Countless people who've maybe tinkered with those other things in life, which seem on the face of it more rewarding, more interesting, more exciting, flirted with those things for a while. Many people have done that and then felt compelled to come back to the conviction that being his disciple is worth more than them all. Disciples of Jesus. Yes, and what about you and me? Are we not disciples of Jesus? Do we want to flirt with those other things, the superficially exciting things which the world has to offer? Have we maybe done that already? And do we know with that inward certainty with which his first disciples and countless generations of his followers have known, do we know that being his disciple is what matters most? Three things for disciples of Jesus to do. Anyone who wishes to be a follower of mine, he says, must leave self behind. He must take up his cross and come with me. Self-denial, cross-bearing, and companying with Jesus. Which of the three is hardest to do, would we say? On the face of it, it might sound like cross-bearing is the hardest. We all know what it's like to have to bear your cross. Some of us know it more intimately than others. Yes, on the face of it, it's maybe cross-bearing, which looks the hardest. But when we think about it, isn't it the self-denial bit? Isn't it almost impossible, if not completely impossible, to do as Jesus says and leave self behind? The French philosopher René Descartes was in his day the foremost thinker in his country, if not in the world. His name is still revered in the field of philosophy. Well, Descartes based his philosophy on a system of doubting everything he could possibly doubt. He found that the one thing he could not doubt was his own existence. This person doing the doubting, this self, was the one thing he could not get rid of, not get away from. Isn't that how it is? Can we ever get away from ourself? Can we really leave self behind? We know that Jesus came to the world, and Jesus still comes to the human scene to invite sinners. He doesn't seem to dwell on whether one sin is worse than another. He invites all sinners into his fellowship. Yes, Jesus invites sinners into his fellowship, but he doesn't leave them in their sin. It's not by means of their sin that they are to serve him. It's by leaving it behind. Where does sin originate but in people paying too much attention to self? Over-glorification and over-gratification of the self. If we're guilty of those things, we can still join the company of Jesus Christ. But if we do, then we have to begin to leave those things behind. If anyone wishes to be a follower of mine, he must leave self behind. There's no compromise in that. There's no watering down of his demands to meet the circumstances of a changing world. If we want to follow Jesus, we must leave self behind. I said a moment ago, we must begin leaving behind the things to do with self. That's because for most of us, it has to be a long, continuous process. We can't leave self behind all in one movement. And Jesus knows that we can't. We have to keep on working at it. And while we're working at it, we don't have to wait to join his fellowship. He'll receive us if we're still struggling to leave self behind, and he'll help us to do it. But he won't let us rest content in the old self-centered ways, and he won't countenance people taking their gratification of self and calling it glorification of God. Leave self behind, yes, and he must take up his cross. Coming from the one who took up his cross and gave his life for us all, that surely is a call to accept the burden of sacrifice. We talk about having a cross to bear. We all have our cross to bear, we say, thinking about people carrying the burden of an illness which won't go away, or the burden of disappointment, or the breakup of family ties, or something like that. But there are two things to be said about it. One is, it's not just the great moments of sacrifice that Jesus means. He means the daily, rigorous discipline of putting the service of other people before our own pleasure and our own convenience. Constantly living our life in the readiness to sacrifice things we would rather hold on to. Leisure time, comfort and ease. All sorts of things which for his sake and for the sake of others we have to do without. That's one thing, and the other is this. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. There is another meaning to the word cross. Apart from the cross of crucifixion or the symbol of a burden or self-sacrifice, the Greek word which is used here also means a tent pole. Take up your tent pole. In other words, don't get stuck in one place. Be ready to move on. The Christian life is a life of progress. The Lord himself is not static, and if we want to be followers of him, then we can't be static either. There are those two meanings, and I'm sure Jesus means us to take both of them. The cross of sacrifice, accept the burden cheerfully. The tent pole, which we must be ready to take up and move to another place. A step forward in the pilgrimage, which is the service of our Master. Leave self behind, take up your cross, and those who would be followers of Jesus must come with him. When Jesus went about in Galilee at first, carrying out his ministry of teaching and preaching and healing, there were plenty of people who followed him. They followed him from place to place. They crowded round him so that he could hardly get room to move sometimes. They followed him even to the quiet place where he went in order to be alone for quiet moments of prayer and meditation. Oh yes, they followed him. But they didn't continue to follow him. Not when things got difficult. When it became clear that he was not going to be the popular hero that many of them had expected, they didn't follow him then. They forsook him and left him with just his close group of disciples. And when the real crunch came, even those disciples couldn't stand the heat, and they all forsook him and fled. It's glamorous sometimes to be a follower of Jesus. When it brings popularity and makes us noteworthy and gives us an inward glow of warm self-satisfaction. But it's hard to go with him when he goes into the tough places of life. We might be inclined to avoid those hard confrontations, those tough, demanding, strength-sapping areas of life. But Jesus doesn't avoid them. He goes because he's needed there. And if anyone wishes to be a follower of his, he or she must go where the Lord goes. The church gets a chance to get to grips with issues which are both important and difficult. The church, when it meets in general assembly, deals with those things. And the church, from week to week and day to day, is grappling with the things which are really difficult. We do need to remind ourselves that the Church of Scotland is not the same thing as the Church of Jesus Christ. His church is the fellowship of his real followers, wherever they live, however they worship, whatever particular kinds of sin they're trying to leave behind. But his followers are not static. They're constantly seeking his help to enable them to leave behind everything which has to do with self, everything which is self-orientated. They're constantly seeking to bear the burden and move forward. They're constantly boldly going where the Lord himself goes. It's not easy. It never was easy. But it's worthwhile. And we really want to be among those real followers, don't we? He'll help us. Just ask him. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. A hymn from CH3, number 404, God is my strong salvation, 404. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray you to accept the offering we seek to make, the offering of our material resources, and the offering of ourselves. Grant that all our efforts and all our prayers may tend toward the building of a world of peace and joy and freedom. We thank you, Lord, for every good gift which we receive from you, for the world in which we live, all its mystery and all its resources, for daily bread and the things of every day, for the life of home and the love of dear ones, and the fellowship and companionship of friends. We thank you for work to do, ways of serving you in serving our fellow human beings. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Help us to live in the light which emanates from him, so that our life may be a contribution to the welfare of your people and the establishing of your kingdom. Lord, we pray for the church, that it may be an agent of truth and love, leading your people to a knowledge of your love and salvation. We commend to your care those on whom we depend for safety and protection, those who are ill and those who tend them, those who give themselves to the public service in one form or another. Bless and help those who are finding life hard and frustrating, those who have temptations and difficulties too great for them to overcome alone. Be with those who are in doubt which way to turn and how to cope with their situation. Bless those whose lives are going well and help them to remember the source of their happiness. Bless those dear to us and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, that in living this earthly life, we are one with those who have lived it before us in your faith, and those who in that faith will come after us. Help us to live worthily of the great heritage in which we stand, and to enter the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, as we look out on this very pleasant Sunday, we have to remind ourselves that it is the last Sunday of summer time, that is to say, of British summer time, and next Sunday we have to revert to Greenwich Mean Time, turning the clocks 1 hour back. I'm sure we'll remember to do that and get to church at the right time. And talking of church service times, it's still 3 weeks until Remembrance Sunday, the 8th of November, but it's worthwhile remembering even now that we're going to do as we have done in recent years and have a combined service with the congregation of Ardeer on that day. And the service will again be in Ardeer Church, where they have the uniformed organisations to parade that day. And the service there that day will begin at 11:15. So that's Remembrance Day, still a bit away yet, the 8th of November, 10:45 in Ardeer Church. And now we close this service with another hymn from CH3, number 444, I Feel the Winds of God Today, 444. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.